Book of John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Boy, I tell you, I don't know who those two were, but I'm sure they wasn't mad just because they didn't get mad because God didn't call their name. Simon Peter said to them, "I go fishing." They say to Him, "We also go with You." They went forth and entered a ship. Immediately that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He said to them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered Him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side, and you shall find." They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Simon Peter heard it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat to Him, did cast himself in the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, dragging the net for fishes. Soon then, as they were come to land, they saw fire poles there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring of the fish which you've now caught." And Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. There were so many yet, was not the net broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." None of the disciples durst ask Him, "Who art thou?" knowing it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me more than these?" He said to Him, "Yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said unto them, "Feed My lambs." You may be seated this morning. We've been dealing these weeks on a series entitled The Bible Fires, and we close this morning with our last thought. We have seen so far the witness of the fire in the book of Exodus. The word of fire in Jeremiah broke out all in his bones. The work of fire in 2 Samuel, how he set his barley fields afire and got their attention. We've seen in the book of Leviticus the watching of the fire. He said, "Boy, don't you let the fire go out on the altar." And then we dealt with in the book of Leviticus wildfire, where that they offered strange fire before the Lord and struck them dead. A lot of wildfire going on in churches today. Matter of fact, if it doesn't line up with this Bible, it's wild, then it needs to be left alone. Then the wrath of fire in 2 Peter, God's going to destroy everything you and I can see with what this world has to offer. That's the wrath of fire. Then we dealt in the book of Daniel with the Hebrew children walking in the fire. Then last Sunday we dealt with Simon Peter. He was camping out around the wrong fire in John 18. If you get around the wrong fire, you'll get colder than you thought you were. He went to cussing, fussing, denying. Remember the Bible said, when the Lord looked upon Peter, he wept bitterly. And I close with that thought of how that the Lord forgot about Himself there in Pilate's judgment hall. There He looked at the eyes of Peter. So many times the Lord, every time, forgets about Himself. Looks at His children. But now this morning I'm interested in this verse, in verse 9 of John 21. Soon then as they were come to land, they saw fire coals there. Fish laid thereon and bread. And I want to preach on this thought this morning. The welcome of the fire. The welcome of the fire. Aren't you glad that God has a fire built upon the bank? Welcomes all of His children home. This morning I want to see three main things about the welcome of this fire. First, you'll find the fishermen sailing by the fire. They were working.
the fishermen sailing by the fire. They was working. You'll notice in verse 3, the expedition. They went on a little cruise. They went on a journey. Peter said, I'm sort of getting tired of my last orders. I'm going to go fishing. I've noticed a lot of times that when we're waiting on the Lord, we've got our instructions. He had told them to be endued at Jerusalem until they were endowed with power. So they've got a little antsy waiting on the Lord the way you and I do many times. So Peter said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go fishing. We see the expedition. And then secondly, in verse 3, you'll notice their eagerness. The other six said, we also go with them. And the Bible says that they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Now, that's a lot like me and you. On this expedition, we see their eagerness. Boy, you better watch who you're following. I mean, they didn't take any time to think about nothing. They loaded up and they was ready to go. The Bible said immediately they left and went out of fishing. The Bible tells us that any man that builds a tower, he needs to sit down first and be sure he can complete it. Yeah. And so a lot of times as a child of God, we get in a hurry, we get antsy waiting on the Lord. We take it upon our own self to handle our own situations. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I've never been hesitant enough. I always just jump right in and go at it and not thinking about the consequence. Certainly the Bible said that immediately that night they got in the ship. And boy, I tell you what, if you're not careful, you'll jump into the dark. There's some things that you need light about. A lot of times, a lot of people, they're looking for another job and they don't wait on the Lord. They just spring forth and go immediately. They react after what the flesh tells them to do. A lot of time, our brothers and sisters, we react according to the flesh instead of spiritually. When someone says something to us that we ought to answer back in the meekness of Christ, we let the flesh answer back immediately. So we see these fishermen, they're sailing by the fire, they're working. We see their expedition, their eagerness. But then verse 3, the Bible says, and that night they caught nothing. You'll see their emptiness. They were empty people. You and I are a lot like that. We're busy at catching nothing. We're busy at catching nothing. Their emptiness. Well, you thought sure that if they were laboring, for they did, they were sacrificial, they was going at night when everybody else was sleeping, that surely they had caught something. I remember one day in a bass tournament, it was cold. Oh, it was so cold. We fished and we fished and we fished and we fished. Never will forget, we put that boat on the trailer and there at the weigh-in scale, so the boys hollered and said, what y'all got? We said, nothing. Nothing. I'm afraid that's a lot like Mom and Daddy's this morning. A lot like you and I. We labor and we toil, but we really just ain't got nothing. I know as a preacher, a lot of times I've labored and I've toiled, but when I got up in front of the congregation, I just really didn't have nothing. And you know, you've got to get something in order to give it to others. So this morning we see their emptiness. Are you here empty? Maybe you're full, but you're full of the wrong things. Are you empty of the things that really matter, the things that's going to carry you across the river? Are you full of Jesus this morning? Are you full of joy? Are you full of the blessings of the Lord? We sang a song. The Lord's been so good to me. I was sitting there thinking in the chair a while ago, Brother David, Brother Tim, we got test results Friday. You know, they could have said my little girl was eat up with cancer. But everything was good. You know, I could have hit a time clock Friday for the last time, been out of a job this morning. I could be at a funeral home, could be at a graveside. I could be telling my church by this morning, but God's been good to me.
their emptiness. And then in verse number 4, you'll notice this, that when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus, their encounter. They encountered something in their work. May I tell you this morning that every time Jesus don't deal with us at church, Jesus was dealing with these while they worked, while they labored, while they were out in the world and they were going in the operations of the flesh. This was not on a Sunday morning when He dealt with these disciples. This was at night. They'd been fishing, but now the morning came. They'd had an encounter. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. We see their encounter, and then verse 5, we see the expression, the Bible said, then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? Are you got any fish? And they answered him, no. I wonder how that this expression came about. There was 7 characters in this boat. 2, we don't know who they were. There's 2 that was following 1. No doubt they labored all the night, and now an expression comes off the bank. They don't know it's Jesus. There's some man standing out there. I guess some of them thought, well, there's somebody just been smart. They know we ain't got nothing. He cries, he says, hey, children, what you got? I want to remind you that a lot of the theologians, they have different thoughts about this. Some think that here the disciples were just being busy and the Lord came. And I understand that. It's good to be busy. But I take it that Simon Peter said, I'm sort of tired of hanging around here. I'm a-going fishing. I take it to the thought that they were really out of the will of God. Because, matter of fact, you'll notice that every time you have the will of God, it never does become fruitful. And so here we see these disciples, and he cries from the bank, children, or this word children means lads. What you got? Mom and Dad, what you got this morning? I mean, really, what you got? I think a lot of times about, you know, it feels so good to just have a couple of $100 stashed back. Something comes up and you got $200 or $300 to pay the bill. Then I get to thinking, you know, it feels good to have a job we can go to in the morning that we all rely on where we can feed our family next Friday. And you know, it's a blessing to be able to come to a church where you know that you've got friends and fellowship and a place that you can come and worship. But then I get to thinking about if all those things were taken away, what have I got? I've got something this world can't buy. What you got this morning? We see their expression. No, I get to thinking about that, labored all night. I'm sure that maybe just 1 didn't answer, but 2 or 3 had something to say. And I would imagine it was sort of a short, grumpy answer. Some of them probably said, no, we ain't got nothing. No, we ain't got nothing. Their expression. But then in verse 6, I love their encouragement. Thank God that when you're a fisherman and sailing out by the fire, and when you're working, there is some encouragement. He said, verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you might find. No. My King James Bible says, and you shall find. You shall find. The encouragement. Oh, I'm glad that in the place that you've been empty so long, you can get full. They didn't change where they was fishing. They changed how they was fishing. And so we see the encouragement. He said, if you'll just do it right, you shall find. Mom and Dad, let me tell you something. If you'll really get right with God, and my last point of this point will come alive in your house, and it's verse 7, it's the evidence. Not only the encouragement, but now the evidence. He said in verse 7, he knew what he was talking about. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved He said unto Peter, "It's the Lord, Peter."
He said, "You've been leading us around in this darkness all night. We ain't got nothing. But the Lord knows more than you know."
Look what he said in verse 6. "They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes."
The evidence. The Lord knows what he's talking about. And if you'll do it right, the Lord will bless it.
And I'm talking here this morning about the fishermen sailing by the fire. They're working.
A lot of times we're so busy not accomplishing anything. You know, I think about the three Bible characters, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Boy, Martha was, the Bible says she was cumbered about in her serving. She was so busy. But Mary was doing the right thing. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Quit talking about it. She's doing the most important thing. She's sitting at my feet." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that busy is not always the best. I'm saying waiting on the Lord is what you need to do this morning.
Here the fishermen sailing by the fire, they're working. But then secondly, you'll find there's a friend standing by the fire. He's waiting.
There's a friend standing by the fire. He's waiting. And I want you to notice what happens.
You'll find here the Bible said, verse number 9, "As soon then as they were come to land, they saw fire coals there and fish laid thereon and bread." They were come to land, they saw fire coals. There's a friend standing by the fire, he's waiting. I want you to know, first of all, he's a friend when you're distant. He's a friend when you're distant. He was some 100 yards off of the shore. And he spoke out to the disciples. He said, "Hey, children."
Now, isn't it amazing that he's such a friend that he loves us enough to speak to us when we're going in the wrong direction? When we're distant from him, when we've allowed things to get between us and him, it's just like the Lord to speak to us. Aren't you glad he can talk to you?
You see, there's a friend standing by the fire. He's just standing there waiting. And he's a friend even though that you're distant.
There's been a lot of times in my life that he shouldn't have said a word to me. But he did. Aren't you glad that some of you had an earthly daddy that would tell you when you were doing wrong? Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that you've had some preachers that would preach to you through the years and tell you when you were doing wrong? Aren't you glad that you got a friend standing by the fire this morning that'll tell you when you're doing wrong?
He's a friend even though that you're distant. He's a friend even though you're defeated. They caught nothing.
Well, there's been so many times I sat over here in this little old chair. I thought the other night I'm going to swap these chairs out because I about set that now. What are you saying? I'm saying he's a friend even to the defeated. They caught nothing. Ain't it a blessing when he talks to you when you're defeated?
Now, I want you to think about something this morning. They've done labored all night. They had nothing.
But he's a friend to the defeated.
Oh, I'm so glad. He encourages our heart. You know, a lot of times it's real good.
Brother Dennis, Brother Jamie, Brother Don, when you preach, and folks at the back door of the church says, "Good preaching." Nobody to shout. Nobody to amen. When you walk off the porch and your wife says, "That wasn't too good." There's a friend standing by the fire waiting.
Defeated. He's a friend to the distant. He's a friend to the defeated.
He's a friend to the disloyal. Peter's in that boat. Remember last Sunday what I said? Peter ain't seen the Lord again yet.
Peter's sitting around by the fire cussing in the night. He said, "Hey, I don't even know this man." No longer did he say, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water." He said, "I don't even know this man." God, that book.
He's a friend of the disloyal. Peter said, don't even know him. He said, children. Oh, friend, standing by the fire. He's awaiting for the disloyal. Peter's a leading that expedition. Jesus built the fire and he's just sitting there waiting. He's a friend to the discouraged, to the distant, to the disloyal, to the disobedient. They're supposed to stay back on the bank. They were out in the energy of the flesh. But Jesus is such a friend, he's just waiting by the fire. Thirdly, not only do you find the fishermen sailing by the fire, they're working. A friend standing by the fire, he's awaiting. Thirdly and lastly, you'll see there's a feast served by the fire. It's a warning. I want to tell you, to get to this feast served by the fire, first of all, you got to get there by faith. The Bible said they came to shore. It's a place of faith. Have you ever been there? Before you'll ever get to this fire that will feed you, Brother Jamie said he'd give you a cup of water that would quench your thirst like something you never had. But you got to get there by faith. We see the feast served by the fire. It's a warm and it's a place of faith. Secondly, it's a place of feeding. Look what he said to them. He said in verse 12, Jesus said to them, come. What a wonderful word. And dine. Come and dine. Place of feeding. And then thirdly, it's a place of fellowship, and I guess it's the highlight of the sermon. Did you notice what Jesus did? He could have walked on the water to go to them. He'd done it once. But he doesn't operate that way now. Now he operates in a different way. Now he's been crucified. He's died. The third day he's got up. He's fixing to go back and sit on the right hand of the Father and intercede. Now why didn't he run to them? He called out to them. No. Now they had to come to him. The Bible says, if any man come to the door and knock, I'll open unto him. Now, isn't it amazing in their backslid condition, he spoke to them? But I'm going to tell you today, folks, he sits on the right-hand side of the Father making intercession for you and I, just saying, come and die. Come. Down. He could have walked out there. He could have walked right up to Peter and said, Peter, you no good rascal. You denied me out by that fire. You acted like you never did even know me. But he didn't. He said, come and die. When's the last time that you really came to the Lord? He sits there for you with open arms. He's built a fire of welcome, and he welcomes all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever, he welcomes. Come. Why don't you and I come more often to him? Why don't we come and ask that we need? I'll assure you, these little children, you take Paige, you take Mara, woman, you take little Charlie, take Braden, Riley. If they have a need, you know the first thing they do? Mama, Daddy, Didn't he cry from the bank, children? Come. Die. Why do we go hungry? Because we don't come and die. Not the preacher's fault. Not the church's fault. Come. That now the ministry has changed. He's not so much walking out to them, but now it's changed. He said, come unto me. Isn't that what he said? Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Isn't that what he said? He said, no longer do I always take it upon myself to walk out to where you are, even though he does. But now he's teaching his disciples, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. You know, in closing, talking about the feast served by the fire, it's warming, it's a place of faith. You've got to have faith to get to it. It's a place of feeding. Are you hungry? He has plenty there this morning. Fish and bread. Place of fellowship. It's a place of favor. I want you to notice what Simon Peter did. I'll never forget this. Got a bunch of books. Some 20-something. They're out of print. All the old preachers have written about verses in the Bible. This is what one said. He said, notice in this text, there were seven men that could not draw these fishes. But when Simon Peter jumped out and he ran to the feet of Jesus, the Bible says explicitly, Simon Peter drew the net full. Right by his staff. But he wasn't alone. He had something within him that was pulling the load. What are you saying? When Peter was operating in the energy of the flesh, they couldn't pull the load. But when he ran and he bowed down at the feet of Jesus, that's what he told Jesus, Brother Jason. Don't you imagine that when the Lord had looked at him that last time, they crucified him on the cross and Peter hadn't been able to say, Lord, I'm sorry yet. Boy, when John cried, he said, hey, children, cast the net on the right side, and you shall pass. And they cast it over. They couldn't pull it. John said, it's the Lord. You know what Peter did? He went to take it off his outer garment. Cast himself in the sea. He said, I've got to get over there to where he's at. I've got to tell him something. When Peter got there and he fell at his feet, when he got up, he was able to drag that net all by himself. And share it out with him. This morning he stands welcoming by the fire. I wonder, do you have strength for your net? I wonder if that heavy load that you're pulling, I wonder, are you able to carry it? We had talked about Bible study this week, how the Lord has been so good to us. But now I want you to notice how the Lord's ministry has changed. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And then John said some words to us. He was writing in the book, and the Lord said, hang on a minute, John, I need to write something. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. I'll sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Come unto me. Come. It's amazing. A lot of you have heard me say this a lot. I guess I was closer to my dad than I thought I was. Dad's gone now. Miss Dorothy, I dreamed about Dad for 3 times this week at night. All night I dreamed. So really just sitting there. There's been times I'd love to run and say, Daddy, what do I need to do? Daddy's gone. But I've got a friend standing by the fire. He's just waiting. Come unto me. All ye that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to him this morning while we're singing, would you? Whatever you need, come ask. Come see him. He's waiting on you by the fire this morning. He'll feed you. He'll fellowship with you. Would you come while we sing?